Welcome. Thank you for responding to the trumpet call and coming out tonight. It's wonderful to see so many folk out on a Wednesday evening. I've had several apologies for various significant reasons, including going to weddings and other such things, but it's great to see so many have come out tonight. We do pray once a month on a Monday night. It's not normally this many of us, but we do, and Monday night, it's Wednesday. Wednesday night. Hey, Jean was mouthing at me. I thought, what have I just said? Wednesday night, Jean. Forgive me. If at any stage I go a little bit incoherent today, it has been the GLS, Global Leaders Summit at Open Doors. It's been absolutely fantastic. Well over 100 were there. It's our biggest year yet at Open Doors. It's been really good. But it has left me a little bit weary. So I'm going to try and be coherent tonight because that is the goal. So just to let you know the sort of the format, I've asked Rich just to start us worshipping together with a song. And then I'm going to speak for a little while. We're then going to worship again and pray and pray into the things that I'm going to be speaking about. So thanks for coming out. Rich, would you come and lead us? Would you stand if you're able and comfortable to do so? And I'm going to pray. Lord God, thank you for this church family. Thank you for everyone who's made it here tonight. Thank you for those who, for various reasons, can't be with us but would like to be. Father, we love you, and we're here because we love you. We're here because we want your church to be healthy and to grow. We're here because we want more people to discover the love of Jesus and have transformed lives. And we welcome you. We invite you to come and be at the center of everything that we say and do. We invite you to come and lead us in our prayers and our worship. Help make us more aware of your presence because you are here with us. You are the all-present God. So help us to put aside the things that are distracting, the things that we left at home, the things that we're concerned about tomorrow. And help us to come together and focus on you, on your goodness, and on your glory. Fill this place, we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you that your love unites us, that Jesus has transformed us and continues to transform us. And the Lord, you have called us here for a reason. Help us more and more to see what you are doing and what you are wanting us to do.
Yes.
We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So in the last 10 days, one of the great saints of our time passed away. I'm sure many of you will have heard, but Eugene Peterson died just at the end of October. Now, if you don't know that name, Eugene Peterson was part of Regent's College Vancouver. He was an incredible writer, author, wrote many books on ministry. He was a wonderful pastor, had incredible pastor's heart. He mentored many people over the years, and he translated the Bible into the message. He created it. He translated the Message version of the Bible, and he did it to bring the Bible, when he was teaching in a very uneducated, when he was pastoring in a very uneducated part of America, he discovered that people couldn't get hold of the Bible. So he decided to translate it from the Greek and Hebrew into a more fluid language. And it's been a blessing to many of us. I will often read from it because it gives me a different take on particular passages. At his funeral, his son Leif said this: his dad had only one sermon that he had, and he had had everyone fooled for 29 years of pastoral ministry. That for all his books, he only had one message. It was a secret, he said, his dad had let him in on early in his life. It was a message that he said his dad had whispered in his heart for 50 years. Words he had snuck into his room to say over him when he was asleep as a child. This is the message. God loves you. God is on your side. He is coming after you. He is relentless. God loves you. God is on your side. He is coming after you. He is relentless. I hope we all know the truth of that. I hope we know that he loves us, that he's on our side, that he's coming after us, that his love is relentless. We planned a sermon series on Nehemiah several months ago. Little did I know that the Wednesday after a sermon was given on Nehemiah 4, it would be our monthly prayer encounter. I am not that good at planning. God is. And so when I felt that because of what is going on at the moment in the life of the church, I needed to sort of do a trumpet call, I did. You've responded, for which I'm grateful. The passage in Nehemiah, I'm going to read from the Message version, from that version that Eugene Peterson translated. And this is Nehemiah 4, which Rich spoke from on Sunday. When Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the repairs of the walls of Jerusalem were going so well, the breaks in the walls were being fixed, they were absolutely furious. They put their heads together and decided to fight against Jerusalem and create as much trouble as they could. We countered with prayer to our God and set a round-the-clock guard against them. Tonight is about praying to our God. But what I love about this is it's prayer and action. It's not just prayer. They prayed and they set a guard. And I believe God is calling us to action. It goes on in verse 19 and 20 and said, "Then I spoke to the nobles and officials and everyone else. There's a lot of work going on and we're spread out along the wall, separated from each other. When you hear the trumpet call, join us there. Our God will fight for us." And the trumpet call tonight is really intended to bring us together to listen, to pray, to ask God to fight for us. I've blown the trumpet because I do believe that we're at a really significant time in the life of the church. Tonight we need to worship together and I need your prayers. Before we pray and worship, I need to let you know something of what we're facing and why I have blown the trumpet and need your prayers. First of all, how have we got to where we are today? Right now, we are in an uncomfortable place. I don't know if you've ever repotted a plant and you've pulled the plant out of the pot and realized that it was completely root bound. The picture here, you can even see some roots growing through the pot. Then you can replant it and it can start to grow again. We've seen significant growth and consistent growth over the last few years. And that's good because healthy things do grow. That's what happens. But it feels a bit like we're constricted in a plant pot and things are becoming painful. So we have 14 new people coming to the welcome supper tomorrow night to meet us who've joined the church in the last few months. In the last 2 years, Andy sent me some statistics about Alpha, and I was just staggered. I hadn't grasped this. We've run 9 Alpha courses, 115 people have attended, 72% completed the course, over 1,000 meals have been provided, 76 of those completing said their relationship with Jesus had grown. Healthy things grow. But the growth that we've seen has come with growth pains, particularly how do we all fit in safely and worship in the ways that we're accustomed to or would like to worship. We've been so blessed with what's going on with our children and young people, so blessed that I want to show you a couple of quick videos, one of which you will have seen on Sunday, one of which we're showing this Sunday. You know, Ben and his youth team and Kirsty and Lisa and their children's team are extraordinary. You know, next time you see them, tell them that. They are doing an amazing job and they're superstars. We're going to take this opportunity to try and recruit more team as well because it looks so much fun. So there are clipboards that will be passed around and if you'd like to sign up, you're very welcome. But what is going on here, which we don't see on a Sunday often, is brilliant. It's fantastic. That the youth band were leading worship on the Sunday evening just a couple of weeks ago, and it was wonderful, truly wonderful. The problem is that actually, you know, they've been doing a lot of that while we've been in here, and we haven't seen that they've been doing it in pretty difficult circumstances. At times, we've not made it easy for our children's team and our youth team. At one stage, we had seven-year-old children being taken to the youth hub, walking up the path to the youth hub up the road. So imagine you turn up at church for the first time with your seven-year-old. You give them to complete strangers to walk up to a strange place that you've never heard about or not seen. Are you going to come back to that church? Yeah. And still, our 8s till 11s are going up to the youth hub on a Sunday. Our youth are going to Blake School on a Sunday. And so as part of our journey over the last few years, we launched the Beyond the Lichgate project. We bought the house to secure our site where the offices are based. We developed the car park so that we were no longer in danger of running children and cyclists over as we left the car park. I saw a few near misses in my first couple of years here. We improved the kitchen and toilets in the church centre, including creating the toilet that can be accessed from outside so that we can safeguard the children in the church centre when they've got their work going on. But the problem, as I said, is it's still not great. We still have groups that aren't meeting here. They're meeting in other places on a Sunday. And at the same time, to try to accommodate the growth of children's and young people's work and growth in families' work, we changed the service times again. We went to 9:30 and 11:15. And the changes were to even them up, or try to split the children's work across both services, try to create more space. And we've done so. Our children's work is now safer than it was before we did that. And you need to know that was one of the reasons. It is safer now. But while in doing so and in managing to create something safe and better for the children, and for that I make no apologies that we've done that, at the same time, counterintuitively, it's not working for the families who have more than one child and they're in different services because now their friends are in two different places. So it's not working for them in quite the same way. It's also not working for those who want a slightly more traditional style of service in one of those services because that's changed. It's also not working for those who want a longer informal style of service because the 10:30 has become shorter. And so some people are thinking, well, we've not got the space to listen and respond to God in the way we had before. It's not really working for anyone because coffee at the back of the church just doesn't really work. Yeah, and we recognize this, we see this, but we don't know what to do. Was it a mistake? I don't think it was. As someone said at the PCC, inaction was not an option. We had to do something. Could it have been done better? Almost certainly. And I do apologize again for the unintentional hurt that we've created by perhaps not explaining some of the reasons behind the decisions as well as we could have done, or answering well enough some of the questions that have been asked along the way. I'm genuinely sorry. We had and continue to have few options, and we tried to make the best of our space. However, going forward, there is only so long we can keep going with the current service patterns because, as I've said, there's elements that aren't working, and actually the children's team working over two services is really hard work for the children's team and volunteers. For the worship team, similarly split over two services, it's hard work. So some of you might be thinking, well, what solutions have you been looking at over to try? Aren't there other things? Couldn't you have found another space? We've tried other spaces. We spoke to Wood Green School about moving there, and we couldn't. We looked at Madley Park Hall, but that wasn't going to be big enough or work on a regular basis. Now, in the APCM in 2016, 2.5 years ago, we read, someone had the word before the APCM from Genesis 26, Isaiah, Genesis 26, verse 19. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, "The water is ours." So he named the well Esek because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one, so he named it Sitnah. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land." Now, and I said this, I looked at my notes. Now the Lord has given us room and we flourish in the land. My prayer is the Lord will give us room and we would flourish in the land. That was my prayer 2.5 years ago. And then I thanked you all for your friendship and support. But following the meeting, I was approached by a number of members who are present with encouragements, including Martin and Maureen, who Martin shared when he was vicar in Norfolk. They built a new church on the wall in the foyer. They wrote that same verse, "The Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land." Now, back at that APCM 2.5 years ago, I know it doesn't seem like it, does it? But it was. I boldly declared, why don't we build a church up on the hill by the traffic lights? Anyone remember that? Yeah. And you know, we got excited about it. We thought this is a real possibility. It's a bit of land where they're going to develop. Jeff Woodward drew up some sketches for us. I think this is the, I don't know if you'll be able to see it, but you can't, just about. That was just, he just drew up very quickly some sketch ideas of how we could fit something on there with a car park and a hall and a school. Don't look at it for too long because it doesn't make a huge amount of sense if you're not taught through it. But he drew up some sketches and he was really helping us. But it became quickly apparent that the landowner wasn't interested in us building a church up there, and actually we wouldn't be able to get very much space, so there wouldn't be a huge amount of benefit, and it would cost a huge amount of money. So we've continued to visit other churches, ask questions and pray. As an aside, Jeff Woodward, who many of you know, he's been a great help to us in this process. He's very experienced at helping churches build churches and indeed convert things like warehouses. He introduced us to St. Albans Vineyard, which he helped design. It's a big church in St. Albans. And I want to stop for a second now, because yesterday Jeff was rushed into the JR with suspected encephalitis. Hazel and Ilona, Hazel, his wife, Ilona, they're here somewhere. I saw them come in. Yeah, is over there? No, looking over there. I see him. I spoke to them just briefly. He's a bit better today than he was yesterday. I want us to stop and pray for Jeff right now, because I sense an element of attack in all of this. And so I want us to contend with him. So would you stand for a second? And would you, and I know this is so un-British and we're not very good at it at all, but would you actually speak out some prayers for Jeff right now? So speak out. You can just say, if you don't know what to say, say, "Heal Jeff. Heal Jeff. Lord God, we pray right now that you would pour your spirit out upon Jeff. We pray that you would meet with him in that hospital place and you would bring complete healing to him right now. We pray that that you would give great wisdom to those who are looking after him. We pray protection over the family. We pray for Hazel and the children. We pray that you'd surround them with your love and your peace. We ask for your healing for Jeff, and we ask for it tonight. And we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please continue to pray for Jeff. We are going to continue to lift him up in prayer. So that's where we've got to. We've got to hear. There's another element to getting to hear, which you don't know about as church. Because for the last 2 years, once we'd realized that building up there wasn't going to work, we started looking at, could we build down here? And I didn't tell you because there's huge sensitivity in this area, and because I didn't want to raise expectations and hope and then have them dashed if we didn't get anywhere with it. So we commissioned a feasibility study. In fact, the diocese helped pay for this feasibility study, and as PCC, we commissioned it. We got the architect who designed the Warwick Hall in Burford to come and look at our car park and see if we could build on the car park. He came up with two wonderful options, initial sketch options, and you can sort of see an auditorium in the car park there and some rooms that would be used for children's work, youth work, in that space. The auditorium would be about 400-seater. It would have been a great space. It would cost a huge amount of money. Had to all be doing Cotswold Stone and things like that. And there were at least five objections that I could see just from word go. What the community would feel, what the flooding, would it flood, car parking, access. So we were aware, you know, there were some really big hurdles. We went to see the planners up at WODC, And we asked them, just in a very informal meeting, what did they think? And they didn't object, which in and of itself was a good start. But they said, you have chosen the Mount Everest of planning. Oh, okay, Mount Everest has been climbed. We can do this. They said that you need to get Historic England on side. So we met with Historic England. And initially, they were very, very positive. And then they sent me a letter, which basically said something along the lines of, not on our dead body will you build anything on that car park. We tried to challenge or, encourage this letter to change, and we were given a very clear, no way, Jose, you're not going to be able to do this. And that was back in July, so it was only a few months ago. Now, at that point, I just felt I had to lay buildings down and just try to make what we've been seeking to do here on a Sunday work. Continue to go forward with missional communities, which we believe is part of the answer, but try to make it work. And so put building down completely. And then a month ago, I'll come back to that. So that's where we find ourselves. That's where we find ourselves. Craig Groeschel, who is speaking at the GLS today, says, we are not spiritual consumers. The church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist to transform the world. We exist to transform the world. That's why we're here. We exist to transform Whitney. We exist to transform the Cotswolds. We exist to transform the world. And any building, I've said it before, one of the buildings we visited is only ever a vehicle for a vision. It is not the vision itself. A building is not nirvana. Any building is only the vehicle for the vision. What is our vision? What is our vision? Well, I've said this before, I say it again. We want to reach out to transform and empower the next generations through the love of Jesus. We want to transform and empower the next generations through the love of Jesus. Now, some people think, oh, that means just young people. Well, it does mean young people and children. But we've all got a next generation. And if you're 80, the generation below you is probably the 50, 60-year-olds. If you're 50, 60, you should be looking to the 20s, 30s. We have all got generations that, as older, we can be serving and seeking to serve going forward. We want to reach and transform our next generations through the love of Jesus. There will always be an emphasis on children and young people, because churches that do not have an emphasis on children and young people get old and die. So we have got to keep doing that as well. But we want to reach out to transform. We want to enable everyone to flourish, everyone, through connecting with God, each other, and their world. And I believe we are called to become a resourcing church, engaging in mission in our community and beyond. I believe, as I look around here and I see who God has called here, that we're a church that is not meant to just be here for us. We're meant to transform the world. And transforming the world starts with how we seek to transform our community and then the communities that we can serve as a bigger church with a vision for mission. So three words: transforming, flourishing, resourcing. Transforming, flourishing, resourcing. Why do we want to do this? Why do we want to do this? Well, we want to do this because Jesus wants us to do it. Jesus had a great commandment, and his great commandment was love your neighbor as you love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the greatest commandments. Start there. If we all just do that, we've won. If we all love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbors as ourselves, we will transform Whitney. We'll do it. Let's start there. But he also had great calling. Thank you. Great calling. And the calling was this. He said, the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the good news. The calling that he said to the people as he went out is, the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the good news. And we individually and as a church, we need to take that seriously. We need to take repentance seriously. we need to turn around on a regular basis and look and see, well, what are we doing? Where are we going as individuals, as a church? Are we coming back to Jesus each time? Because the kingdom of heaven is near. And we want to be a church that experiences the kingdom of heaven released amongst us. What does that look like? That looks like people being healed, set free, transformed. The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the good news. And then he also gave us a great commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. Go into all the world and make disciples. How are you doing on that one? Because that's something that Jesus actually really told us to do as well. Go into all the world and make disciples. So that's why we're doing these things. Because Jesus has asked us to. And because we're followers of Jesus and we sing songs saying we love him and want to do anything that he'd want us to do. And he says, well, I want you to love your neighbors as yourselves. I want you to make disciples. I want you to repent and believe the good news. That's what I want you to do. You know, if you're sitting there thinking, what does God want me to do? He wants you to do those things. Start with those. And if we do those things, we will become a resourcing church. It will be part of our healthy, natural growth that we will resource others. Now, when I talk about a resource church, some people immediately have an idea of what that is, others don't. Over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to send a little video out every Friday, just explaining a bit more what I mean by a resource church. But very briefly, and I'll repeat these in the video, a resource church is one that is serving and supporting the identified people groups that we believe in Whitney, in our particular area, are very prevalent. So that is lonely and isolated, children and young people, families with very young children, vulnerable families, and people who work at home. We increasingly want to find ways to support and serve those groups of people with the love of Jesus. Second, we want to help other churches in three areas that I think I don't want to say we're great at, because we're not, but I think we have some experience in, and we're seeing God bless us in. And that is children's work, youth work, and contemporary worship. Now, some of us here aren't big fans of contemporary worship. I understand that. But actually, that is something that God, I believe, has called us to. He's brought people like Rich to be with us who have just a gift in that area. And I believe as a church, that should be part of what we do and what we offer to others. And we offer it through developing missional communities, church planting, working with rural churches where we can and where they want to work with us, developing further missional communities, which again I'll explain more on the video, and in time I believe God is calling us to be a church that plants churches that plants churches. So where will we do this? Where will we do this? We'll do it here. We'll keep doing it here. We'll keep doing it here for as long as we're here, and we'll always be here. Because we'll always be doing it from COGS, which I think is my next point. We'll always be doing it from COGS. There will always be mission, worship, mission, and ministry from this building in this place. So we will do it from here. Increasingly, I hope we will support, encourage South Lee. Many of you know some of you probably don't know, but I'm also Vicar of South Lee, ably supported for many years by Nick Pike, who is now unwell and has had to step back from that. But the church there would like us to help them, would like us to resource them, to work with them, support them going forward. So I hope we will work out, well, how can we do that as a resourcing church? And then we'll do it with other churches that want to work with us, and then we might do it in a new building as well. And a month ago, a new building possibility came to our attention. I can't tell you where that building is tonight, but I need you to pray, because in the next month it will become, I think, clear as to whether we can move forward towards getting that building. The reason I can't tell you is because I need to have a few meetings between now and then to make sure that people hear it in the right order, and that includes it within the diocese and within our local area. As I say, we only found out about this a month ago. At the time, I could see immediately three or four big hurdles. three of those hurdles have gone, pretty much, already. There's one hurdle, and it's going to cost something. It is going to cost something if we go ahead. And on the 25th of November, if this next month goes well, I will be asking you at a gift day for two things. One is to help fix the roof here, because we need to do it. We're always going to have a worshipping presence here. The other may be to help start to launch a campaign to buy a building. Now, I'm sure you've got loads of questions now. Loads of questions. How will it work with here and a new building? It's a good question. It's a very good question. How will we raise the money? That's a really good question. That's a great question. Tonight is not about questions. Tonight is about praying. Because right at the word go, when I sat down with someone very senior in the diocese, and the diocese are supportive of us exploring this, but when I sat down with someone very senior in the diocese, they said, well, it's only going to happen if God's in it. And it is only going to happen if God's in it. Now, at the moment, I'm feeling and believing and hoping and praying that God is in it. But I need us to pray. I need you to pray. I need you to pray over the next month. If you feel God telling you something, I need you to send that to me or to Heather or to one of the church wardens or tell one of the PCC so that we can weigh these things as to what God might be saying to us at this time. And so that's why I've blown the trumpet. Because I do believe we are at a significant time. I don't think we can continue as we are. And yet, I love who we are. I love what God is doing among us. And I love that he has a plan for us. But I believe that there may be this future opportunity. But I need you to pray with me for it. So I'm going to ask Rich to come and worship and lead us in worship. Because, as I say, it's only going to happen if it's God's plan. And so I just want us to put all of this up to God again in worship. And then we're going to pray. And we'll pray with the people where we are around this and around anything else I said. The very final thing, and one of the reasons why I wonder if it's something that God is stirring us to, is because the last year has without doubt been the hardest year of being vicar here. Not because necessarily of what's been going on, although that's been tough. But as many of you know, we've been saying goodbye to Mum for a year. She was only supposed to live till Easter. She surprised all the doctors. But we know she's in her last couple of weeks now. We really believe that. She went into a hospice yesterday, has been sent home with end-of-life care. So it's been a tough year personally this last year. It's been a tough year for some of the team in ways I'm not going to tell you, but it's been tough. It feels like we are having more a sense of more contention than I've ever known in ministry. And actually, as weird as it sounds, that's a good thing, because I don't think the devil's interested in churches that have no vision for mission, no vision for transformation, no vision to see their world, their nation changed. He's interested in the ones that do. And I think we may have raised his interest a little. So we need your prayers. I need your prayers, whatever the future holds. Would you stand? Lord Jesus, we are here because of you, and we return to you. And Lord, forgive us for the times when we try and do things in our own strength, in our own way. Forgive us for the times when we make mistakes. Forgive us for the times when we look to our own strength and not to yours. Forgive us for the times when we don't have enough faith. Forgive us for the times when we insult you with our fears. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord, we want to believe. We want to believe that you want to do more. More in our lives. More in this town. More in this nation. And we just want to be obedient. We just want to follow your spirit into the things that you're calling us to. And we want to see young and old lives transformed. hope restored. And so, Lord Jesus, we worship you because you alone are worthy of our praise. We worship you.
Let's begin to lead one another.
And run through a troop or leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can run through a troop or leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a song that goes into that, a very old song. He's my strength and my shield. He gives power to all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. Hallelujah. Whatever is impossible, appearing to be impossible, if God is there, we can leap over walls and we can run through the impossible.
Roman army, and the first line of that army, and the shields, you know how they interlock them, and all the way along, those shields were interlocked so that nothing could penetrate. I have a sense that God will be our shield, but we need to lift it up into that place, and each and every one of us has a position on that line. So we must hold our shield and God will do the rest.
Maybe as we do stand together, can we just put an arm on a shoulder and stand together as one tonight? Because, Father, tonight you're pouring out your Spirit. Tonight, Lord, you're taking us beyond and out of our comfort zones. Lord, tonight you're releasing faith and you're expelling unbelief. And, Father, you're wanting to enlarge our hearts, enlarge our minds, enlarge our souls. Because we want to make room for you. Make room for you to come and be more than you are, to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, Father, as we've met together, as we're meeting together tonight, we welcome you afresh in our midst. We welcome you into the family of St. Mary's Cogs tonight. Have your rightful place, Lord Jesus, and continue, Holy Spirit, to speak to each one of us now, as together we get into slightly smaller groups and pray for what you're putting on our hearts. Help us to flow with a slipstream of your Spirit tonight, to be listening with one ear to what your Spirit is saying, the other ear to our brother or sister. For Lord, we're coming to you humbly tonight. We're coming to you, Father, to ask for you to have mercy on us tonight. We're asking for you, Lord, to cleanse us, to pour out your grace, to lift us up afresh, so that we may hear your voice more clearly. So have your way now, Lord. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's always hard to break into that sense of listening, ears, eyes, and spirits when we're listening to each other and listening to the Holy Spirit.
As I was doing my Bible reading this morning, and afterwards I do meditation, I got a vision of a soldier in full armour, and I didn't know what it was for, but obviously it was for tonight.
Yes. The vision of a soldier in full armour this morning as she was praying. A reminder for some tonight.
Whilst we were talking together, I felt that, Simon was talking about the possible problem that, you know, that he was up against with this new building, and I felt the Lord saying, God can move the mountains.
Thank you. We like that. We receive that word from the word of God.
Before I came this evening, I had a sleep. I expect many our age do. But before I went to sleep, I was praying. But when I woke up, I had this thought, and I didn't look it in the Bible or anything. I was walking the dog and things. But it was about Paul. He wanted to go to Acts 16. We've looked it up. He wanted to go to Asia. And he was leading his group of people, dedicated people, keen people, to go to Asia. And and they couldn't go. They kept trying the door and they couldn't go. And then they went to bed and they woke up. And the next morning, he said, well, we're not going there anyway. We're going to Macedonia. And, I would have felt, hey, what's going on? If you're the leader, how do you get this mixed guidance? But they must have said to each other, does Paul hear God? Does Paul led by God? Because they said, yes, okay, and they got up and they went to Macedonia. And that brought blessing, not just to one or two, but to Europe, didn't it? Like we are a product of that blessing. And who knows, when I first heard about this, because I was on the PCC, I was reluctant. But as I've prayed about it, God has just said to me, over and over, does God speak to Simon, Stuart? And I've got to say, yes. I've experienced that in this church over the years many, many times. And I've got to say that I'm on the journey with Simon. And this prayer journey is the start. We don't know where it's going. But I just want you to sort of have that feeling of we're on the journey with God.
Thank you, Stuart. Anyone else? Got anyone else? Yep.
Thanks. I had a picture as we're praying of the field of dry bones that was called to rise up. Not that we're all dry bones, but it was the feeling that if God can call up bones that aren't connected in any way through ligaments and muscles and into an army that can do amazing things, what more can he do with living, breathing, faithful people, even if we don't feel like we are the right people to do the right job? And I think we're all being called to our own little part in this army, and we've got to be faithful to find that part, I guess.
Thank you. Beautiful. Is there somebody here? Okay, I'm going off into the Blake Chapel.
While we were singing, we were worshipping, I had a wonderful picture of a lovely train flying through the countryside in the sunshine with loads of people on it, really having a wonderful time. And then when we started to pray, I had a picture of that train at a station with the doors open and the Lord just saying, well, it's our choice whether or not we get on that train. And I think each one of us has to make that choice before God. And it doesn't really matter where it's going if it's God's train, but we just have to make that choice about whether we're going to get on it. But I tell you, it's a jolly good train.
Thank you. Oh, sorry.
Just to, I think, underscore the word from Nehemiah at work, I'm involved with a ministry that's involved in evangelism. And since September, we very much held Nehemiah as a book that God is speaking to us very clearly about, you know, and the fact that God called the people to build. There were people to their right and their left. They didn't build alone, but together they encircled the wall. And the fact of they were called to build and to be prepared to fight at the same time. And I think that's very much the season. It's interesting, it just resonates so much that what I'm getting at work is a theme that is with us now. The sense of building, but also the sense of being on our guard.
Thank you, thank you. Anyone else as I rove around? Oh, yeah, there's one, Kay.
Just two words that keep coming back to me time and time again, unity and harmony.
Oh, Ella, have you got, can you?
Just to add to the words that have already been given about army and soldiers, as I was walking down the path to the church, I really felt that I was walking down as a soldier, part of, and that we were all soldiers together, and that God is creating an army here for the advancement of his kingdom. And then as we were speaking in the group, I remembered, yeah, and that the picture that I had was us, but we are part of what's happening across the nation as well. And I'm just wondering how many other people are actually getting that sense of being soldiers.
Anyone else?
The word God gave me at this last prayer encounter a month ago was from words from an old song that we used to sing, "Let me have my way among you, do not strive." And sometime after that I was talking to Simon and he said that was the word that God had given him back in the summer when the project on the car park fell through, "Do not strive." Is that right? Exactly the same word. I'm sure that's God's word to us about this project. Do not strive, just let me have my way among you.
And just a word from us on the prayer side that Simon mentioned 2.5 years ago, the verses from Genesis about redigging the wells. Well, we were given those verses as the bunch that used to meet every month called the prayer well. And so for the last 2.5 years, we've been praying into and standing on those words and many, many other scriptures, feeling that we were digging the trenches, that we were redigging the wells for us all. So again, that sense of how the Father is working and the journey is just as important as the destination. And just as we were praying, it's our journey now over this next month as together we all seek his face on our own, in our connect groups, in our families, feed back in what we get, and we're going to journey together. And in that, we are all going to be changed more and more into his likeness. And actually value our family here at St. Mary's Cogs more and more. So just that sense. Father, just want to say, can we just say thank you for all that you've been speaking to us about? Father, just the themes that have been coming through with 5 or 6 people who were brave enough, Father, to stand up. And there'll be many more things and scriptures and pictures and visions and senses that you've been giving to us. Those little nudges, Father, that you just love. And so, Father, we just want to welcome you afresh into this whole next month. Lord, give us all that confidence to seek your face. That as we open your word, Lord, to expect it to jump off the page, not only about this particular issue, but for our own lives and the things that we are facing. For Lord, we've heard many times tonight that you are the God for whom nothing is impossible. So we want to just pray that you'll continue to raise our faith with our gaze fixed on you, Lord Jesus, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. Simon.
Well, thank you, Jane, and thank you, everyone. I'm not going to speak for long. I've spoken for long enough. But just wanted to say, even as the a number of people were mentioning the army, particularly that Roman army, in that sense, their strength was that they walked together. You know, when they were together and their shields were overlapping, they had a strength. And indeed, Kay, your unity and armor, we were praying down here that whatever the future holds, we want to be moving to it in a united manner. Yes, I'm hopeful, I'm prayerful about this opportunity, but if it falls apart, we still move forward with unity. The challenge, you know, one of the ways the devil really does get stuck in is creating division, creating, you know, gossip, grumbling, cynicism, all those things. And so we need to watch ourselves, guard ourselves, watch each other, and let's move together into whatever God has for us going forward in the future. And just to say, Mark, did you hear Pastor Saeed last week? Did you know? So Mark said about Ezekiel and the bones, and he's saying he didn't know. I wasn't here for Pastor Saeed either, but Pastor Saeed was speaking on that passage, speaking to the bones, from what I understand, to speak to the bones to stand up. And so you know, that passage has been significant to us as well. The last GLS Global Leaders Summit, which is happening over these 2 days at Open Doors, it features leaders from across the world speaking, and we're watching their sessions. And the final one was John Maxwell, who's a brilliant leader of leaders. And he put up at the end Ephesians 3, verse 20. And Duncan, I think it's there. And this is in the message again, Eugene Peterson. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. I think that's amen. Amen. Bless you, folks. Please do keep praying. Keep sending us what you feel God might be saying, encouragements, anything you feel needs to be weighed by the elders. If someone feels they have something very strongly, I will always take that to a group of elders who I trust to weigh. So if you have something, then do send it in to me or to Heather or to one of the church wardens. And please keep praying for us over the days and weeks ahead.